41. Harry took a few limping steps forward.
Where is it?
Eli approached the plinth, then gazed around the chamber.
It's not here.
Yes, I can see that.
He studied the flags, the vaulted ceiling, the backs of the doors.
We must not be early enough. It must have vanished sooner than everyone thought.
She shook her head.
It vanished in the 60s.
Yeah, but how does anyone know that?
It's what came down the chain.
But how do they know?
I don't know,
she snapped.
It should be here.
Eli heard the rustle of clothes and shoes in the marble room behind them. He shuffled around to face the door. 15 strode into the chamber. He wore his transparent mask, the one Eli had first seen weeks ago and one town over. His suit looked sharp, as if he'd had it cleaned and pressed just for this encounter. Half a dozen immaculate faceless men flanked him on either side.
Being in this room, he said, is an act of treason against the United States punishable by immediate execution.
His pistol came up. The other faceless man mirrored him. Harry reached past Eli, holding something up. For an instant, he thought it was one of her pistols, that he was going to be her human shield in a last stand against the faceless men. But she held a small object between her thumb and finger. A poker chip. She raised it slowly, as unthreateningly as possible, to put it between them and 15. The faceless man's chin went up and his head tilted back, just a little, as if the wooden token had caught his attention. Eli studied the chip himself. Dark red paint, an eerily exact match for blood, ran along the edge and up onto the face at points. Some of it had chipped away or rubbed off over time. Where the bare wood showed, it had the dark, smooth look left by years of handling. The marks on the poker chip's face looked like an elongated loop and skinny triangle, both stretching across the circle. Then, where they intersected, his focus shifted just a little. Just enough. He saw the stylized AP, the sides of the two letters pressed together to form a single line. Harry swiveled her wrist, turning the token back and forth.
You know what this is?
It's a dislocated item, said 15. A poker chip from one of the saloons of Hourglass, California, 1886. You fugitives use them as representative tokens.
It's a favor, said Harry.
She limped up next to Eli, keeping the wooden token in front of them.
Your favor.
15 pulled the slide back on his pistol. It slammed into place with a hard clack that echoed across the second landing, and then the weapon dropped to point at Eli's chest.
Whatever information you may have about the location of the dream can be just as easily cut out of you as long as your head's intact.
Eli swallowed.
Except, Harry said, I'm calling in the favor.
She thrust the poker chip forward like a horror movie nun warding off vampires with her cross. 15 paused. A faceless statue.
You're what?
This is the only favor Abraham Porter ever gave out.
She locked her eyes on the empty sockets of the mask, on the smooth skin beneath the transparent plastic.
That you gave out before you became one of the faceless men. This is your favor. I'm calling it in and asking you to honor it.
15's chin came down, then tilted ever so slightly up again.
I ask for safe passage, she said. Eli and I walk out of here, unharmed, unchanged, no pursuit, we're simply allowed to leave.
She looked at the empty plinth.
To leave all of this.
A moment of silence stretched out in the tabernacle of the dream. 15 took a step forward, then another. He was 12 feet away. 10 feet. 8. The pistol stayed level with Eli's chest. Eli and Harry stood their ground. The faceless man reached out with his free hand and plucked the favor from Harry's grip. The pistol never wavered. His fingers moved up and down, pushing the wooden token onto its edge and over onto the other side. He flipped it again and again. Harry's wounded leg gave out. She fell against Eli with a grunt. Her empty hand still held out in front of them.
"Tell me, Mrs. Pritchard, Mr. Teague, why did you, or any of the searchers, think that a faceless man would be bound by some vague contract made by a dead man?"
Her hand dropped.
"He isn't dead."
"Abraham Porter no longer exists."
"But he isn't dead," Eli insisted. "You're him."
"I had no existence before the faceless men."
"Then you're a liar,"
said Harry. The poker chip made a crisp, sharp sound as it snapped in half. Eli's stomach dropped. The pistol jabbed into his sternum to catch it.
"I," said 15, "would mind your tongue. The faceless men are the true heroes of America."
"Heroes who don't honor their debts," said Harry.
"Abraham Porter is..."
"Was a good man," interrupted Eli, trying hard to ignore the pistol. "An honorable man, honorable to a fault, the way Harry tells it. She couldn't imagine a situation where he wouldn't honor a favor when it was called in." 15 closed his fist around the two pieces of the poker chip and squeezed.
"It seems I was wrong," said Harry, pushing her chin up.
Eli's gut swirled again and carried up memories of talking over truss, back when the old man was just his boss at a small branch of a bank. Of knowing he was either saving his job or ending it. Of being almost sick with fear and confident at the same time.
"Are the two of you," asked 15, "familiar with the concept of the filibuster?"
Eli glanced at Harry. She met his gaze, then looked at the faceless man.
"The what?"
"The filibuster is a delaying tactic used in the United States Senate to prevent a bill from being brought to the floor for a vote."
"Okay," Eli glanced down at the pistol.
"The senator must keep talking," explained 15. "They cannot sit down, they may not take breaks, they cannot eat. They cannot drink anything except water or milk."
"Milk?"
"If any of these rules are violated," said the faceless man, ignoring him, "or if the Senate invokes cloture, the filibuster is at an end, and the business of government proceeds. Do you understand?"
Eli swallowed. No, I'm not sure I do." He glanced at Harry, and she shook her head. 15 opened his fist and let the broken splinters of the favor fall to the stone floor.
"I am honoring Abraham Porter's favor in a manner that matches the rules of our government. We are delaying your execution. You may speak for as long as you wish, without moving, without a break, without nourishment. And when you're finished, unless you've somehow convinced me of a reason to let you go, I will shoot each of you in the head."
Harry straightened up.
"What?"
The faceless man took a step back. The hand holding the pistol settled down to his waist, pointing it between them.
"Your time has begun, Mrs. Pritchard. Mr. Teague.